Kevin Barker. Let's consider the number 30, shall we? 30 home runs for Vladdy Jr. after his two home run performance in today's 4-0 win. 30 starts in the year, or this is was the 30th start in the year for Kevin Gausman, a no-hitter through five, leaving with lower back issues. Hello, it is Blue Jays Talk. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker here. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, and you can text us, 590-590, standard message and data rates may apply. So, a lot to unpack from this game, Kevin. We'll get the news of the day out of the way first, I guess. Bo Bichette has been shut down for the rest of the year with a fractured middle finger. He injured it during batting practice yesterday, or more precisely, during pregame workouts yesterday. He injured it fielding the ball. It is his throwing hand. He will see a hand specialist, but in the very least, we now know that Bo Bichette is done for this year, and I've got to think Bo Bichette will not be upset to see 2024 in his rearview mirror. Jonathan Clase has been called up from AAA. He was part of the return the Jays got from the Seattle Mariners. He's a switch-hitting outfielder. Chances are we'll see him at some point the rest of the season. And but, I mean, Kevin, the story today, Kevin Gausman's five innings of pitching and Vladdy Jr., two home runs, 30 home runs in the year, 99 ribbies. He's got an average of 321, I believe, 322, 321. He's second in the AL in batting. I mean, let's start first and foremost with Vladdy. You're a slugger. You were a hitter. I don't care what level you played at, Kevin. 30 is 30 is 30 is 30, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, if you remember correctly, I think we were doing our show when Vladdy got called up, and I was watching it up close and personal. I was watching batting practice. I was seeing where he's hitting balls, and you was saying me what should the career look like, and I said 330 and 100. And I think when you close your eyes and you think about what the Vladdy going forward, if he's a Blue Jay, should continue to look like, it's 330 and 100. I think for whatever reason, he went through whatever he was going through mechanically, mentally. It was a grind for him. Now you can tell, you know, timing equals balance. You see it when he holds his finish, that means it's on point, right? It was sort of the last, I don't know, week, maybe seven or eight games. You can tell he's just a little late. He's late on the fastball. He's early on the breaking ball. It seemed to be the when they hit the single to right center, it just seemed like that sort of locked out all the timing, and it helped a little bit with the balance, just sort of having the direction where it needs to be, getting the front foot down on time. You know, I said the 330 and 100 because he has hip rotation like, for me, nobody in baseball. You saw it with the hanging slider. I mean, it's how he sets it up, right? You have to take certain pitches to get certain pitches. You take a pitcher's pitch to get a hanger. You take a slider or a spinner down and away to get a fastball down the middle. It's swing counts. That's what the elite offensive players do, but it gets back to that timing equals balance. So, yeah, I mean, good luck not signing him. I think that's where we're at now. I mean, we've said this too. We're blue in the face. I just don't know how it can be a thought. Go in a room with whoever matters who's writing checks, figure it out. Like, I just don't know how you can let him walk away, Jeff. I just don't. Like, if this is what I think, with just the way he looks, the way he acts, what he doesn't have around him, and he's still doing this, I just don't know how you don't try and sign him. And I don't say give him what he wants, but you got to try and make him happy, and hopefully they do that.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think we're on the same page here along with probably 99.9% of the fan base. This is when this season is over. You know, regardless of what we've seen from whoever else, Vladdy's year will be the most positive thing people will take away from this season, even with that slow start. And, you know, further to your point, it makes you wonder what type of year this would have been if Vladdy had just had a little better start. Like, we could be talking 40 homers. We could be talking 40 homers.
I've said this, and you sort of roll your eyes, maybe throw things at me whenever I say expectations, and some guys have trouble dealing with those first couple of months of the season. Stats speak for themselves. Like, you know, they sort of felt the shortstop and the first baseman, if they weren't getting it done, it wasn't getting done. You know, that's why I was saying, where's the cleanup hitter? Who's surrounding mm-hmm. them? Who's going to help them just sort of not have to think they're going to go out and have to be the man every single pitch, every single at bat? It's hard to do. And then once you're sort of out of it, I think that's when Vladdy just said, basically, you know, the heck with this. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to get on time. And if I'm on time consistently and can see the ball and lay off pitches that I'm supposed to lay off of, and when I get them because I'm on time, you know, I eat a bunch of them balls for breakfast. So, yeah, look, it's just, again, I've said this to you, and I'm not sure a lot of people agree with me. Maybe they just don't have a ton of faith in this front office. It's not a hard fix for this team. Like, it's really not. You look at stats. Look at what good teams do. I mean, if you got 50 homers from Bo and Vladdy next year, which, fingers crossed, that's what would happen. You know, good teams have somewhere around 180 homers a year, Jeff. That's about what you're shooting for. You need to go in the offseason and figure out how to get 130, right? I mean, you're going to get some from Springer. You get some from Varsho. But basically, got to fill in the blanks to try and get 130 more. If they do that and can find a closer, with what the rotation's doing, how they're sort of just whatever it takes mentality every time they go out there. You know, they're predictable with the starts they make. Gausman, I mean, that's 31 3 years in a row. Like, it's just, you know, Bassett, I mean, he's had a down year. Barrios, we all know the 32 starts he's giving you. Like, they're predictable when you're handing them the baseball. They're going to give a good lineup a chance to have the big inning and win a bunch of baseball games right in front of you. For me, I mean, it's not a hard fix. And now I just think, seeing the Vladdy that you're seeing now, how can you not? It's enough on the market to go out and help him. Go out and help him, see what happens.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays winning the final game of this three-game series against the Texas Rangers. Both teams are 73-80. Of course, the Rangers, the defending World Series champions. The Jays go on to Tampa tomorrow for the first of a three-game series. That will be the end of the road schedule for the Blue Jays. They will be back home to face the Boston Red Sox and the Miami Marlins. Shlomo in Scarborough, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Shlomo?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Good to see Gausman turning it around, promising, and seeing Vlad finish strong. That was great news. But I wanted to talk about a little bit awkward conversation, obviously. I'm a fan of Bo Bichette. I'm a bit concerned about conditioning. I don't know how to just say this, but he does not look conditioned, doesn't look in shape, doesn't look like a superstar, doesn't look like a shortstop. The way he came back this season, his appearance just wasn't chiseled, to say the least. And I want to know, like, we have all this money invested in Dunedin and in, obviously, in sports and nutrition. What's going to happen here? Like, how did the team talk to players about staying healthy? Kirk and Bo could be in much better condition. I guess this question's for Kevin. How does the team address this with players in this day and age?
Yeah, that's a good call. I'll pass it over to Kevin. No, that's a great question, Kevin.
Absolutely is. You know, again, I think this is where you get them in a room, you have a man-to-man conversation with them. That's how you feel. I mean, I'm not sure I'm there. Bo's had a mental grind of a season. Like, when you go through that, things just don't fall in place. They don't look the way they're supposed to look. That comes with appearance, right? We've talked about the drop of the shoulder, the drop of the head, when it just don't look like he's engaged. And you tend to, you know, not put all your sort of chips in the middle of the table and do whatever it takes to be the best you, to help an organization and a team go where they ultimately go. That's what I said. It's not a hard fix, man. I mean, these are grown men you're talking about. You're paying them to be the best they can possibly be. If you feel like Shlomo feels, then you get them in a room and you have the man-to-man conversation and say, we're paying you to be the best you could be. That comes with everything. And again, Jeff, you started this show by saying, I'm sure Bo sort of wishes 24 didn't exist. He can't wait till it ends. Well, it's over for him now. Now he can go write down what he needs to do to get better. That will include, you know, if you're on board with that conditioning thing. And, you know, I know he's eliminated the leg kick for now. That's one of the things he's trying to do, just to compete and be more consistent. Like, there's a checklist there, and knowing Bo the way I do, the conversations I've had, and, you know, now I think he wants to go with his buddy, which is Vladdy. He sees Vladdy's turned the corner. Like, he's doing things that Vladdy's supposed to do. Now, you know, again, Bo has tons of pride, and he has a legacy to think about, so I would think all these things will be taken care of, but it's an easy conversation for me. Be the grown-up in a room. If you feel that way, call him in a room and tell him. It's not hard.
Well, you know, and let's be clear, his most recent injury has nothing to do with conditioning. I mean, you take a ball off the middle of off your finger in your throwing hand. I mean, that happens. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. That happens. And it quite often happens during fielding drills. I mean, good grief. I'm trying to think. I think it was Scott Rowland. Was somebody in spring training one year?
I've done that twice, Jeff.
You've done it twice. And I saw in spring training on a drill on the backfield, I'm sure it was Scott Rowland. We were standing around the clubhouse in spring training, as we often do, and Scott Rowland came in, and there was a trail of blood behind him, and he had basically taken, on a drill in the backfield, he'd taken a ball off the finger. I think it's Scott Rowland. I definitely remember the person coming in and doing that. So, yeah, you know, fractured finger, I don't think it has anything to do with conditioning.
Yeah, I don't think that's why.
I don't know.
Slow-mo was talking. He wasn't talking about that's why he hurt his finger. He's just saying his appearance since he's came off the IL didn't look the way it looked before he went on the IL.
Do you think he looked bigger?
I mean, again, we've had this conversation with Kirky, right? I mean, it ain't like I'm walking up to him and picking him up off the ground and going, yeah, you gained 7 pounds. Like, it's almost impossible to do that. I mean, he wears those skin-tight uniforms. So, you know, if he ate a burrito before he put his uniform on, he's going to look a little heavier. So, I have no idea. But
right. But
you can be in better – you can always – the older you get, Jeff, you know this, you can be in better conditioning. Like, you can be – there you go. I mean, you are ripped as all get out. I can see it,
look at that.
Just bulging out of that shirt. But it's like, you know – these are things, right? I mean, this is sort of when you stink and you have a bad year and one of your stars, you know, has had the year that Bo's had, I mean, everybody's going to be starting to point the fingers at every little thing. So I'm sure he'll get it taken care of.
Let's go to a clip from John Schneider. He just finished his post-game availability. We will bring Kevin Gossman's post-game availability to you. But this was John Schneider being asked about Kevin Gossman, about the back tightness and whose call it was for him to come out.
Kept fine. Just he was kind of battling lower back tightness from the get-go and gave us everything he had. I had to make sure he knew he had a no-hitter going when he said he was good, and he did. So pitch count was good. I thought his stuff was good. You know, splitter was probably the best it's been in a while, carrying the zone, but just didn't want to take any chances with him with the way he was feeling.
Do you expect that this will linger into next week, or is this kind of TBD?
Yeah, I don't think so. I hope not. Kind of just see how it goes. But, you know, the fact that he was out there still throwing and looked like his normal self is a good sign. So take it day by day.
So was it your call or his call to come out?
His. You know, I think we've shown we're going to let guys try to go for it. I think with a guy like Kev, though, he knows himself. And, you know, it was kind of after he kind of said he was a little tight in the first, we were going to be happy with 5. Just so happened that he had no hair going. So he was good with it. We were good with it. Bullpen was good.
Did he have that no-no in the mind much?
Honestly, I don't think he did. No. Myself and Pete and Bassett were kind of joking with him when he said, I'm good. And we said, you sure? Didn't want to say anything. And Chris said, you have a no-hitter. And he said, no, I know, I'm good. So he had good stuff, though. He had really good stuff.
That is John Schneider. Now, and I threw this out. I asked BNS, Ben Nicholson-Smith, and Hazel to check around on this, too. It was his 30th start of the year. I know that when he was with San Francisco or Atlanta, I know that he had bonus clause in his contract based on 30 starts. I don't know if that's as 50. It was 50,000. I don't know if that's still in place. It may not be. But that was my first thought with, you know, the decision to go out there and start again. I don't know. It could not be. But it's one of those numbers for starting pitcher, right? It's you look at how many starts you are going to make. And I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea one way or another. We'll hear from Kevin Gossman in a few minutes. But pardon me, Kevin, your thoughts on Kevin Gossman. And, you know, John Schneider pretty clear that they want him to make his next start. If they don't, if they err on the side of safety, what do you make of his year?
Yeah, look, I think he's sort of involved into a pitcher. I mean, we saw the sinker in today. We saw the slider away. We saw the splitter carrying the zone. It's rare we saw that. We saw one split K on looking. When's the last time you saw him strike somebody out looking with a split finger? I can't remember the last time. But he did that, right? I mean, he was trying to set the split finger up, doing, you know, with the two-seamer in and the slider away. Like, he's pitching to certain righties the way, you know, you would have to if you're feeling some certain things. And, you know, I think for me anyway, he's turned the season around by attacking the bottom of the zone. I talked to Petey last year about, you know, why the pitching staff was so good, Pete Walker, the pitching coach, and he was telling me that, you know, they put a real emphasis in the offseason about attacking the bottom of the zone. I know that's a no-no with launch angle and those kind of things, but timing-wise, it is very hard on the ball down and the ball down and away for guys to catch it out front. Everybody says you let that ball travel. That's a guy that's never hit before at the highest level. You don't do that. You got to catch that thing out front, and you got to drive down and through it. You got to backspin it. Like, you got to really get to your finish and hold your finish. And I just think, for me, he's turned his last seven or eight starts around because of that. He's tacking the bottom of the zone. He's getting called strikes down there. He's a tougher take by doing that. You know, it's easier for him to get in better counts. And, you know, this is sort of, I think, going into the next season, you got to be happy about that.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590 is the text line. It is Blue Jays Talk, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. 4-0, the Jays have beaten the Texas Rangers. Kevin Gausman, 5 no-hit innings, leaving with a with lower back stiffness. We'll hear from Kevin Gausman in a few minutes, and Vladdy Guerrero Jr., the offensive star of the game, with a couple of home runs. Ryan in Innisfil, you want to talk about Vladdy?
I do. Sort of kind of similar to what you guys are starting the show with. In my opinion, if that guy doesn't have a 10-year contract by October 31st, you got to completely be done with this front office. What do they need to see? That's another thing, that's the question I have. What more do you need to see? This guy's floor is 25 home runs, 90 RBIs, and 260 average. He's insane. I really don't understand why it's taken so long to get this guy a contract. Almost every other day he's coming out saying that he wants to be with this franchise for the rest of his career. Sign the man. Like, we'll just get it done. Will Smith had a giant contract extension in the middle of the season. So did Julio J-Rod out in Seattle there. Well, why is it taking so long with us? If he goes, this front office has completely failed. They've already completely failed, in my opinion, but this would be just the seventh dagger added to this whole experience here. Second thing I kind of want to talk about was I kind of want to hop on with what Shlomo was saying a little bit. I completely agree with him. Like, when I saw Bo Bichette on the TV screen again, I was like, hold a minute here. Did Kirky put a leg on, or is that Bo Bichette?
Oh, come on now. Come on, be nice, Ryan.
I know that he had a calf injury. I've had ruptured Achilles in the past. Just because you can't go for a jog doesn't mean you can't eat right and hop on a bicycle or something. It's genuinely, disgusting that you put on that much weight in such a short period of time as a professional athlete. You have every single thing in your court, every ball in your court, everything you have to help you stay in shape and be a professional athlete is right in front of your face, and you still fail to do it. It's disappointing to see, to be honest, because, before this season, I'm not going to say I was down on Bo, because you'd be an idiot to be down on Bo for this year, but damn, this year has, he's lost all of the brownie points this year, man. His hitting was terrible. His attitude was terrible. His body's terrible. He's a piece of glass this season. Boy, oh boy, I really hope he can figure it out, because if he can't, even just not trading for the value that goes down even worse, he's basically Santiago. So I don't know, boys. I'm hoping that Willy Adames is wearing a Blue Jays jersey next year and we can figure something else out at third base, because I'm out on Bobichek currently. I really don't like the way he's handled this situation. It's, for lack of a better term, he's just mentally not there. You have to stay docile. Even with Gausman today, it's if he's got back tightness, you're the coach. Say, dude, I'm sorry. Like, you're not going today. Like, and if you're 5 innings into an OU, why the hell do you not want to finish it, man? People have finished games with far worse than lower back tightness. Like, be a competitor, man. That's all I have for you today.
All right, Ryan. Thanks for the call. I mean, I'm going to say this about Kevin Gausman and the coaches. And that one of the things this team has done, by and large, has kept these older pitchers kept these guys in their 30s healthy. So whatever they're doing is working. And I think you heard from John Schneider today. Listen, if Kevin Gausman had gone into John Schneider's office and said before the game, I can't go. My back is stiff. Or if he'd said that after the bullpen, they're not sending him out there. They're just not sending him out there. At this point, it would be silly to do that. Normally, Kevin, I don't like letting the player have the final say in whether or not he wants to play, because most players are going to say they're healthy. But in this case, I trust Kevin Gausman enough that if he tells me he's okay to go, I let him go. And I think the fact that he was okay coming out after the fifth inning, it just tells me that everybody handled that properly. And as far as Bo goes, Ryan, all I can tell you is it is remarkable the 180 degree turn we've seen this market take when it comes to Bo Bichette. It really is. He's gone literally from a guy a lot of people would rather have signed instead of Vladdy to a guy that people are really down on right now. And I don't have an answer for that. I will say this though, Kevin, and I will let you jump in here, and then we'll take a break because I want to hear from Kevin Gausman. This just adds to me, anyhow, to Vladdy's value, the fact that he plays every day. And I know people get tired of me saying this, but I invite you to go back and look at everything that was written and everything that was said when Vladdy came into the majors. Too heavy, not going to be able to stay in shape, going to be hurt all the time, can't find a position for him. Look at Vladdy's numbers. I don't know what else the guy has. He hit 30 home runs this year. He shifted position so they could let Spencer Horwitz... I don't know what else Vladdy can do. I don't know what else he can do.
I'm sure if you're a business person, you're also saying since June 16, they're 38 and 44 after today. Like it's, and Vladdy's been
That's
as smoking hot as you can possibly get, and you're still not winning with him, right? Doing these kind of things, which will tell you he needs help, right? He ain't going to carry this organization by himself to do all these things. And the Bo thinks, what have you done for me lately? I mean, it's normal people looking at dude getting tons of money. They expect him to look the part and play the part. And when you don't, you get talked about like that. So Bo, for me's got something to prove. I mean, it's just that fast. Reality of being a professional athlete, making a ton of money.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We're here to the top of the hour before we hand it off to our friends at Fan Pregame. We are going to step away. We're going to come back and hear from Kevin Gausman. And we'll go back to the phone lines as well. Got some texts we want to read in addition to that. So, Bob in Toronto, hang on. We'll get the I Promise. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I don't know, man. It's tough to kind of put into words, the kind of role he's been on in the second half, really since May. And he's just really good, 109 and 110 to left and center. It's pretty impressive. And you're almost at the point where when he doesn't do something like that, you're surprised, which says a lot about his talent. And it's a huge add-on run there. It's fun watching him right now.
Jays manager John Schneider talking about Vladdy Jr., 30 home runs with what are we looking at? How many games left in the season? Help me out here. Whatever, however many games left. 30 home runs, 321 average. I can't count.
It's got nine games. Nine more.
Show
nine more
told me nine games.
I knew the answer. I just wasn't going to tell you.
Yeah, I know that. And if the Jays go 9-0 in those nine games, they will reach Kevin Barker's prediction.
Hey,
of 82-80.
Saying there's a chance.
Kevin Gausman had 5 no-hit innings today, left with back tightness. This was Kevin Gausman after today's game.
Good. You know, obviously the question is, you know, why I came out of the game, but had some back spasms, you know, started first pitch of the game, and, you know, kind of the point that we're at, you know, I was happy to get through 5 with how I was feeling after the first. I didn't really know, you know, how much I was going to be able to give the guys today, and, you know, the bullpen picked me up and covered 4 for me, and threw exceptionally all of them, and so, yeah, weird day for me, you know. I had a no-no coming, going, and I came out of the game, which is crazy. But, you know, that's just kind of being smart and kind of thinking about, you know, obviously I got one more start yet left, but also don't want to go into the offseason with anything. And so, you know, I really didn't think that today was going to be a day I was going to throw a no-hitter, to be honest, with how bad I felt physically. And so, you know, I think, I don't know how I didn't give up hits, to be honest. So it worked out, and I got a win somehow, and we won the game, and everybody played great. It worked out, but yeah, it's weird.
Shines was saying that you, him, and Pete and Bassett were in the dugout having a conversation. He was telling us a bit about that. How did that conversation go for you?
Yeah, I mean, the conversation was essentially like, you know, do you want to keep going, and do you think you can keep going? And it was just kind of understood that that fifth inning, I kind of emptied the tank, and, you know, yeah, I just physically, I just felt like it, the smartest thing to do was for me to come out of that game as much as I didn't want to, you know. And once I came out of the game, it was like, all right, let's throw a combined no-hitter, you know. That was my first thought, obviously. We didn't, but we got close, and, you know, but, yeah, it was more just, you know, a smart decision thinking about going into the offseason.
So you said you felt it in the first inning on your first pitch. Did you feel it before the game, or was that the first time it really started?
No, I didn't feel anything. I actually felt it my last pitch of warm-ups. I kind of finished through and just kind of had a weird feeling in my back, and kind of bent down to stretch it, and really that whole first inning I didn't know if I was going to get through it. Got lucky that they, you know, it was a quick inning. I got out of there and was able to kind of go inside and stretch it out, kind of do some things to, you know, get rid of the pain, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't fun.
Yeah, I'm curious how much like experience plays into knowing your body like that. Like if you were 24, like would you be a little more tempted to say, take a run?
I think if I was 24, I probably would have came out of the in the first inning, honestly. You know, I think, yeah, I mean, I think the older you get, the more you kind of know the difference between something that's really serious or something that, you know, you can kind of grind through. You know, my biggest thing talking to the training staff was like, if I feel like I'm starting to throw just arm because my back is kind of giving out, that's when I'll let you know, because that's when you kind of start doing something different and chance hurting your arm. And so, you know, I got lucky that we never got to that point. But yeah, I think as a pitcher, you learn as you go, kind of. I mean, you're gonna throw pitches every game where you're gonna feel like that felt weird, you know, something's not right. Until you throw another pitch, you don't know. And so, you know, I've been lucky. I've thrown a lot of pitches right after I felt something weird that felt fine, you know.
Seems like you're ending these last couple months on a really good stretch here for you. And you've said a couple times over the years, like August and September can be a grind. What's allowing you to finish this strong, you think, this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, the last couple years, it's been my first half has been really good, and my second half, I kind of struggle. And this year's been a lot, you know, completely flip flopped in that. And so I think that has nothing to do, but everything to do with spring training, you know, and just getting off to a slow start, only having one spring training start, you know, didn't put myself in a great spot to start the season.
What's your, going forward, do you think he'll make the next start? Is it too early to say? How are you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely plan on making my last start. You know, I want to. That's important to me to make all my starts. And so, you know, unless something crazy happens in the next couple of days, I definitely plan on.
All right, that was Kevin Gausman. Man, that sounded like a butcher shop in the background, like somebody was slicing up a big old side of beef or something like that.
Somebody's got to put all that equipment on a truck, Jeff. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know, I that grinding. I mean, it is a grind. It is a grind, right? The season is a grind. And
you know what
like
I was thinking when I was hearing that? I thought you were going to come on here and poke fun and say something funny about the bullpen. That's what I was thinking.
But that they were throwing the bullpen arms in a grinder or something like that. You know me too well. You know me too well. That was Kevin Gausman.
Do you like that answer?
Yeah, I did. You know what? I did. I really, you know, this is something we'll talk about. Maybe we'll try to get Kevin. Pardon me. We'll try to get Kevin on next week or somebody on next week. But you know, I really got the sense, and I think you may have said this. It sure wasn't me. It may have been you that said this in April or May about you wondered whether or not Kevin Gausman wouldn't have minded a redo on spring training because it wasn't the best spring training for him. And maybe that's something you can learn even at his age and do something different.
Well, yeah, he had the dead arm in spring training, right? And it's hard to get past that, and that's why the velocity's been all over the place. But I like the answers because, Jeff, he's thrown over 1,700 innings in the big leagues. He's got almost 29,000 pitches thrown at the big league level.
And he wants to make his next start.
That, and if you don't know your body by now, you ain't never going to know it. I just think that's intriguing. Just, you know, when he was asked about if you were 24, what would you have done? And he said, I'd have probably came out of the game because you hadn't thrown 1,700 innings and almost 29,000 pitches in the big league.
Dude.
So, absolutely.
He's...
So, I just like the, you know, you do what you can do to give your team a chance. That's what he did when he felt like he couldn't do it anymore. It was, you know, I'm out. And you got to respect that, I think. And he's wanting to make his next start, which is a big deal. And I think they understand how big the offseason is and the beginning of the season next year is. And he's going to be a giant part of that.
Tell you what, I will say this. Best contract Ross Atkins has given out.
Brios' one's pretty good, too.
Brios is pretty good, too. Yeah, but this one was
– all three of them are pretty good.
Yeah, Brios, you know, you looked at a little younger – Gausman, I thought, might have been a bit of a gamble because, you know, we've talked about this with Brios. Brios is like this. Like, you know what you're getting. He's consistent. He's been consistent throughout his career for the most part. Gausman, you know, he's had his rough patches in addition to his successful patches. But, yeah, I think when you hear Kevin Gausman talk, you understand why he is as popular as he is in that clubhouse. And, I mean, I'm not going to get carried away here, but to me, he's the very definition of a pro. And you know what? I think they've got four of those guys for sure on that staff. Four starting pitchers. I think definition of pros. Bob in Toronto, you've been patient. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Jeff and Kevin, I want to first of all say that I thoroughly enjoyed the exchanges that you two have on your podcast. The fact that you're both still standing is a testament to your strength and longevity.
Actually, I'm sitting down, but I appreciate it. I'm tougher than I look, too. I'm tougher than I look. Don't let that demeanor
sure
on the radio.
I'm sure Kevin would be very surprised if he really took it to the nth degree, you know.
Oh, he would. I got a little bit of old man strength.
There you go. Yeah. I want to make a few points about the Blue Jays.
Sure.
First of all, regarding Bo Bichette, I followed the Blue Jays right from day one, and this man is a proven major league player and a proven major league hitter. Nobody has to challenge that. He's had an unfortunate season, but I would say that maybe the irony in the whole situation is that maybe they wind up with a situation where they can keep both Bo and Vladdy, and maybe Bo is extended on a shorter term, maybe with options kind of contract that takes into account how he feels about the Jays, at least in how he's expressed it, and how his performance has been in the past. And Vladdy definitely should be signed to a longer-term contract. And finally, regarding Kevin Gausman, and, you know, I don't base this on today's performance, but rather this year and just the way the man is as a pro, as you say, I wouldn't be averse to seeing a little reasonable extension for him next year, after next year. I think next year is his last under contract. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to see him paired with at least Barrios for the following year or two. I'm not in favor of Bassett being extended, but certainly those two would form at least a basis for pitching for the Blue Jays for the time to come. Love you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the thoughts. You know, the point about the Bo contract and the opt outs. Like I've said this. They're both young enough. Both Bo and Vladdy are young enough that there has to be a way to bake some protection in for everybody into that contract. And if that is going to them and saying, look, we'll pay you more. We'll give you more in the short term than you're probably going to get anyplace else. We'll bake an opt-out in so that if you don't like the way things are going, if you're Bo, if you don't like the way things are going in 2 years or 3 years, you can opt out. You're going to be a free agent at 30. Go back in the market. It doesn't feel like this is going to be as easy as it should be. Does that make sense, Kevin? For me, it doesn't seem as if these two contracts are going to be as easy to get done as they should be.
I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened already. I've said this about Vladdy forever. I thought if they would have gotten him cheaper if they would have done it a year ago or a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. Like, yeah, now you have to pay what, you know, probably Devers got, and that's a lot more money. And, yeah, look, I'm getting almost to where I'd be shocked if either one of them signed. Like, I think that's what it's at. I mean, they're drawing this thing out, and it just has that feel to it. Like, it just has that feel like there's just – you know, feels like one side don't like the other side. And the one dude that wants to be here don't seem more like one side likes that guy. So it's like,
yeah,
it just don't seem like for me, either one of them is going to work out.
Yeah. I don't know. I've said that, you know, what gives me confidence is that if a case can be made, I think this ownership will pony up and sign him. That's the question. Who is going to make the case? Has anybody made the case? You know, and it's entirely, pardon me, it's entirely possible too that this front office, especially Mark Shapiro, is so confident that they have ownership's backing that they may feel as if, you know, we can talk to Vladdy in the offseason and we can give him that 10-year contract because the money will be there. And it's not a matter of simply going to Vladdy and saying, what do you want? Here it is. But this is me being an optimist here. I'm on the optimistic side. That is the only reason I can see why Vladdy hasn't been signed yet. That's the only reason I can see why he hasn't been signed yet. Bo, I don't know. Again, what are we? I tend to agree with the caller. I'm certainly not ready to say Bo's career is over, you know, or that he can't get back to where he was. He has been hurt for the past couple of seasons. You know, this he's a guy who has always had to fight against the impression, rightly or wrongly, that he needs to move position at some point. But yeah, I can certainly see, Kevin, your point of view as well. And I would suggest you're probably in the majority. I would be willing to bet if the Blue Jays called a news conference on October 4th, and said, we've signed Vladdy to whatever, a 7, 8, 9 year contract, people would be shocked. I think the majority of Jays fans would be shocked. And, you know, they'd certainly have every reason to be shocked.
Yeah. I think we come to the realization too, if they want to get as good as everybody wants them to be, they have to sign the big boy to get the free agents in here. They want to get in here to make them the best team.
That would certainly be my first question. If I was a guy looking to commit to Toronto for 4 years, my first question is, all right, but you know what? I don't want to come into spring training 1 year and find out that Spencer Horwitz is the dude hitting behind me. No disrespect to Spencer Horwitz, but if I'm signing a 4 year contract or if I'm Anthony Santander or somebody, I'm leaving a team like Baltimore where I'm going to be surrounded by by good young players. I don't want to go to a team where I'm going to be an island in a year. I mean, even if I'm paid well, you know how guys are. The money's going to be the same wherever it is. And even if I'm paid well, I don't know if I want to be in that position. I want to go to the text line. I've got a real good question here, Kevin, from Chris in Regina, and it's to you specifically. Pardon me. Can you explain how Vlad went from not getting any balls airborne last year to getting lift and backspin this year? What changes do you see? That's a great question from Chris.
Yeah, it's an easy one. It's timing. Like the things he does with his hands, the thing that he does with his front foot, those things have to be in sync, and he has to be in an athletic position to be able to see the ball out of the guy's hand. Look at his takes. Like, for the most part, up until the last 7 or 8 days here, his takes are on point. Like, you can tell it's balanced. If he wants to put his A swing on a baseball, he can, because he's on time. When he's on time, then his talent will take over by the hip rotation and, you know, the explosion from A to B and how he gets linked with his barrel and ball comes off the barrel the way it's never came off before, and he can keep his hands inside the baseball. So, you know, it's all starting with timing, the thing he wants to do. His hands are his trigger. That sort of sets up what his foot's trying to do. When that's in sync and he can get his front foot down on time and be very athletic, he sees the ball longer. I mean, just look at those bats, Jeff. Like, he took the slider to get the fastball down the middle. He had good direction to hit the single to right field, which keeps him aligned, gives him confidence for his next at bat. It's like that sort of carryover to, okay, I've done it once. Now I can consistently do it more than one time. And then you're starting to see the best out of me multiple at bats instead of seeing it one time a week like mm-hmm. we were seeing the last couple of years. So, yeah, I think there's not a whole lot of pressure on him, and I think his timing's on point, and he's an athletic freak when it just comes to what he's doing with his hips. He does hip rotation, and that allows him to have the bat speed and the length and the extension and the hand direction that most hitters dream about and just spend hours and hours. I'm one of them. Hours and hours and hours and hours of time in a batting cage trying to find. And he was born that way. So it's an easy answer of timing.
416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have beaten the Texas Rangers 4-0, avoiding the sweep of the series. Both the Blue Jays and Rangers are 73-80. The Jays will go on to take on the Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow. When the schedule came out earlier this year, I bet a lot of us were looking at that series against the Rays and going, ooh, if that's meaningful, you start talking about all those ghosts Tropicana Field and everything as it is right now. They are two teams.
You don't believe in ghosts.
6:50 is the first pitch tomorrow on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. John in Toronto on the text line. Hey, boys, heard Buck mention Wagner being the starting second baseman last season. I interpret this as having a platoon there, as he has no big league resume. Curious if the team should put more emphasis on having a fixed starting nine versus a few stars and a handful of utility guys. Our teams 2 years ago and in 2015, 2016 were pretty much locked in at seven of nine positions. Why don't we get back to that, even if all nine aren't stars? That's from John in Toronto. Ideally, you'd have an everyday lineup that's set. You'd have a balance of lefty and righty hitters. Maybe the odd switch hitter thrown in there.
Yeah. That's an easy answer. Money.
Money.
Predictability costs money. That's why I said, that's why it's been hard for these guys to get a couple of thumpers in here and what they want in the bullpen, because it costs money. And you got to be really good about where you spend money, and you got to be on point with your evaluations. You got to be spending the money that you do have in the right spots. And offensively, quite frankly, they just hadn't been real good at doing that. So I'm in the camp. I know I picked on you and yelled and screamed about that. I don't care who plays second. I want two thumpers in here. And then once they're in here and I can get
we can figure out what we're going to do.
I can get Bo healthy, and I can put Springer in the six hole, and I can put Horowitz either in the leadoff spot or the two hole. I don't care who plays second. I could care less. He could hit ninth for me. He gives you a good at bat. He probably will catch the ball right at him. Now, he does look like defensively, you know, I don't want to say he looks like he's got the yips, but, you know, there's some things there when he's throwing the baseball and where it wants to end up. He's guiding it, and So he just needs to sort of work on that a little bit. Maybe that has something to do with the arm strength. Maybe that has something to do with first time in the big leagues, trying to make an impression, all those kind of things, expectations next year. Going to go into that, but I'm in the camp now. It's like the catcher, Jeff. I don't care who catches. I don't care who plays second. Get two thumpers in here, figure out where they play defense.
Yeah, theoretically, you know, I think at one point this year, there was talk around the team, and we talked about this as well. You know, maybe you would be looking at some sort of platoon at second base with Horowitz and Schneider, or Horowitz and Clement, or Horowitz and somebody else.
Well, they hate Horowitz.
But they do not like Horowitz as a second baseman. That's obvious. And I'm sure they have their reasons for feeling that way. But I'm with Kevin on this. The one thing I have now with Wagner and Loperfido and Horowitz is and Class A, who's up here, I've got some left-handed hitting options. I've got a switch hitter. I've got, you know, a little bit of lefty-righty depth. That's good, but I've got to go out and get two everyday guys that I can stick in the middle of my lineup. And then whatever's left, I may have to trade some of those guys to get that, but whatever's left, we can make it work. Buck and Dan both mentioned today, and it's something we need to keep in mind, that Dalton Varsho, it does not appear, will be ready for spring training. There's a chance he's not ready for the start of the season. Again, we don't know for certain, but that certainly seems to be the working scenario right now. So it would be nice to have a good defensive center fielder out there. You know, if I have to get by with Loperfido and whoever for the first 2 weeks of the season and stick them down in the order until Varsho's back, I'm okay with that. But Kevin, your point is right. I need to get guys in here, and then I'll make it fit. I'll make it work after that point.
I can't have 13 different cleanup hitters.
No.
Because next year, you know what good teams are going to do who are trying to get off to good starts? They're going to pitch around Vladdy. It's not what you want. You want to protect this Vladdy, not the one that started the season, this one. And I can't do that with Horowitz or Kirk or Clement or Varsha. I mean, just got to fix it.
Mark in London, can Vladdy get to 200 hits this year? He's at 187 now. I also don't hear much said about his defensive form at first base this year. He's been largely outstanding overall. Do you think he's in a good position to win another Gold Glove? I have no idea about Gold Glove voting. I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, he's won it before. He is a guy that is, you know, I don't know if I'd say he's one of the faces of the game, but he's certainly a guy everybody knows around the game. He's a guy everybody talks about. And, you know, with Vladdy's at first base, he's always talking to somebody. So, I think he's got a chance at winning the gold glove. I mean, you know, I think we know enough by now to know that the Gold Glove doesn't always go to the best defensive player at his position. It's a bit of a beauty contest. It's a bit of a popularity contest, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But, yeah, I've said this about Vladdy, and I will say this about Vladdy. I have no problem if they need to move Vladdy to third base next year to get a legit guy in here. I'm not saying move him to first base so you can get Brandon Belt some at-bats. But if they need to move him to third base because they've got Pete Alonso or whoever coming in here, I am okay with Vladdy playing third base because, Kevin, I think you'll agree with me on this. I've seen what it's like to have maximum run prevention and minimum offense. I'm more interested in maximum offense and maybe not minimum run prevention, but if I got to suffer a little bit, if I got to put up with the odd extra error every week because I've got a thumper in here, I'm okay with that. And I'm willing to bet the pitchers are too.
They had one more dude with 25 homers in this lineup. They'd be in the hunt. They'd be playing meaningful baseball right now. They got 153 homers right now today. You need like closer to 180. You got one dude with 25. You're in the hunt. You're playing meaningful baseball. Again, this ain't rocket science. You get them in here, you figure out where these dudes are playing. Vladdy's basically told you without telling you. He'll play wherever.
Yep.
He wants to win and he wants to get paid.
Yep.
I mean, what else do you need to see, hear, and enjoy watching? Like, I'm in the camp. This ain't a hard fix. It's just really not. Hopefully they do it. Hopefully they watch the game the way we're watching it.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 Jeff.
Oh, that does not sound like a vote of confidence.
Well, it's like my model will figure this guy out. You know it will. Our khakis rule.
4-0, the Jays khakis beat the Texas Rangers khakis today.
Oh, that's a lot of
70. That is a lot of khakis. A lot of khakification going on. 73-80, both teams. The Jays off to Tampa to take on my Rays.
Ooh, you can have
tomorrow, the first of a three-game series. 6:50 is the first pitch. We'll be along following the game with Blue Jays talk. Blair and Barker will be along from 4 to 6 tomorrow on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and Sportsnet. The skipper, John Schneider, will join us. Again, 4-0, the Blue Jays have beaten the Texas Rangers. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Laval and Repentigny, Quebec. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.